You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Just had the conversation with producer extraordinaire Ty D. Butler. Where are we going to fit all these things in? There's so much to do. I said, what do we lead with? He says, you got to go potpourri. You can't just spend one full segment on any one thing because there's too much stuff going on. I mean, the Lakers and LeBron is like the 10th story right now. Him being infuriated at coming in second in the MVP voting. How about this? He comes in second. Just think about this for a second. As the Lakers, and you got to figure they're as heavy a favorite going into a conference finals as you've almost ever seen. Right? I mean, do you have any doubt they're going to win the title? But he was second in the MVP voting at the age of 21 and 35. You talk about the significance of an extended, sensational career. I mean, that kind of defines it right there. But we have a lot to do. I've got to get into the Yankees, who, I mean, even when they don't play well and should have lost that game time and time and time again last night, find a way to win it. And I think you'd have to say, we'll get into it, are the favorites in the American League right now. And I said it, and Ty will concur when I bring him on the air in a few minutes, that I've said this for weeks, and the Yankee fan whining and complaining, oh, we're in real trouble, and if we don't beat Baltimore, I said, stop it. I had calls. They're in real trouble, Dave. You just don't see it. I saw it. They're fine. They would be. They will be. No worries. Now, the Mets stink. And I said yesterday, as Canty and DiPietro were giving me, I mean, don't count them out. They still have a chance. Don't be so sure. They stink. Steven Matz, do you understand what Steven Matz's ERA is right now? It's 10. His ERA is 10. Let comprehend this for a moment. He has not been good enough. I mean, think about this. Steven Matz has not been good enough to pitch in the Mets rotation this season. Comprehend that for a second. The Mets starting staff might be about the worst in baseball. Syndergaard, obviously Tommy John out for the year. Stroman, injured, then opts out, never makes a start. And we're sitting here, and Steven Matz can't even get into a rotation that is looking for guys anywhere they can find them. Waka, Porcello, Peterson, Lugo, and he's not even good enough to be involved in that. The Mets are done. Honestly, and I'm not exaggerating, I think the final score is 14-3 last night. I'm not even sure. I could not continue. That game was over in the first inning. That game was a bloodbath by the second inning. The Mets are non-competitive when some of their guys take them out. I know they're a game and a half or two games out or whatever the number is at the moment. They're done. They couldn't be more done. In order for the Mets to get in, at a minimum, they'd have to go 7-2. There is no way on God's green earth that this Mets team has any chance of going 7-2. It's a football weekend, college football back, just slowly. We talked to Paul Feinbaum yesterday on the show. He joins us every Friday on DCR at 98.7 at 10:30. I said, this is not a great weekend of college football. He said, oh, no. No, no, no. This is nothing about this weekend is great. But it's back. Big Ten is back. Pac-12 not far behind, it seems. Full slate of NFL tomorrow. Jets with have you ever seen a worse situation for an offense than the Jets have right now? I mean, Jamison Crowder, who if you compared him to every other number one receiver in the NFL, is probably 32nd of 32, but he's the best you got. He can't play. Lev Bell, who I stand by, is just not the same player at this point in his career. He's on IR. He's out. I mean, this is nothing short of a disaster for the Jets. Now, George Kittle won't play, which I guess is a positive for the Jets, but I mean, can you compete? Forget about winning. I don't look at this game tomorrow and think to myself, boy, the Jets have a real chance to win. My thought is, can they compete? That's it. Can you compete? Can we not turn on the radio Monday morning and hear, boy, the Jets got run out of the building again? Because what you saw last week was an embarrassment. Was an embarrassment. And you say, well, Cleveland was embarrassed week one. Cleveland was embarrassed week one. I still will say that Cleveland put up more of an effort, more of a fight than the Jets did in week one. And you say, yeah, but Cleveland lost 38-6. Yeah, but at least they scored a touchdown when the game was within reach. They were down 10-0. They scored a touchdown. The Jets were down 21-0. They had no chance to win that game. They were never competitive in that game. And then you get the Giants, who, listen, if we're looking for silver linings, played a decent football game, but in the biggest moments on the key plays, they did not get it done. Can the Giants find a way tomorrow? I think you feel a lot more optimistic about the Giants and the Jets, but this has been going on with the Giants forever as well. And I want, again, it's, I told you, you don't take a running back too, but it was obvious, it was plain as the nose on your face, you don't take a running back second overall. Oh, but he's dynamic. He's electric. He's a good running back. Maybe he's a great running back. It doesn't make a difference. You've seen already. You're going to have the best running back. If you don't have a line, if you don't have a quarterback, if you don't have a defense, it does not make a difference. We'll start with the Yankees. 800-919-3776. Yankees are back, guys. I don't know what more there is to say. They trailed 3-0 last night. They trailed 4-3. Two outs in the ninth. Gary Sanchez, is it high enough according to the call from Michael Kay? The answer is yes. Tie it at four. Then you're walking the tightrope all of extra innings. Red Sox have bases loaded, one out in the 11th. J.D. Martinez comes to the plate. He strikes out. Then a pop-up. Yankees score a run, hang on, and win that game 5-4. They are rolling. They've won 9 in a row. I think they've outscored the opposition by, 53 runs in this 9-game winning streak. And look at the American League. I mean, look at the American League and what it is right now. Maybe there's one team that you look at and say to yourself, I don't love the matchup, and that's Tampa. Maybe. Because the Yankees have entrenched themselves as far as second place in the division is concerned. They're right there with Minnesota for the 4-5 matchup. I don't think they'll catch Tampa. That would seem daunting with a week and two games to play and back 3.5 games. Point being, we've gone from 16-6 to, oh my God, the sky is falling. They're awful. They can't score a run. It's a disaster. They're all banged up. To now Torres is back, and Judge is back, and Stanton is back, and Urshela is back, and they're healthy. And Garcia looks good, and Tanaka looks good, and Cole looks great, and Chapman seems back. They're back. So all of the, oh my God, we're in real trouble. Oh my God, there's real concern. Can we put that to rest now? And I laugh at the Yankees fan. I laugh at you. When you, oh, we're in real trouble. Yeah, you had a blip because you were playing guys that shouldn't have been playing. Now that you're back and healthy, you knew Gerrit Cole wasn't going to be bad every single start. You knew Tanaka was going to wind up being fine. You knew that when Judge and Stanton and LeMahieu and Torres and Urshela and all these guys came back, that you'd be fine? How good is Luke Voit, who can barely walk at the moment? Luke Voit is on pace for like 65 home runs. Yankees, I told you weeks ago, no one believed me. Do you remember? I had callers calling me. They're in trouble. And if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to call you back and yell at you. All right, where are you now? Where are you now with your apology? Because I tried to tell you that they would be and will be fine. And here we are. They are. 800-919-3776. So obviously a lot of baseball. We'll get into the Jets. We'll get into the Giants. We've decided at 9:45 this morning, we're going to do a football frenzy. At 10:30, Stump Rothenberg, of which, and I hate to toot my own horn, but there's not a lot of positivity in 2020, so I will. I have been unbelievable. I mean, just I think every week we're like 8-3, 9-4, 7-2. It's really, again, sensational. Sensational. R.J. Bell at 11 o'clock. He's given it his game of the week, and we'll really analyze and get to a long conversation with R.J. at 11 o'clock this morning out in Vegas. But a lot for us to do. By the way, Happy New Year. L'Shana Tova, all the Jewish listeners out there, myself included, right? Big day for us. Not starting out great, obviously, with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is a very sad story as we just continue over what is just an unbelievable 2020. But away we go. How about what Christopher Johnson does this week? He has to come out and defend his coach after week one. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that before. Like, guys, it's fine. Don't panic. Don't worry. It's week one. And rightfully so. Panic, worry. It looks awful. I agree with you, Jets fans. I'd be horrified right now. And to come out and make statements like, well, this guy, he's just an offensive genius. Can we say it? If you're such an offensive genius, can we see that for a moment? Or do we just have to watch the same third and nine and we'll run a flanker screen 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage? Like give me something, no? I mean, you watch the same thing over and over and over, and it's nauseating and it's frustrating. And then he comes out and says, it's fine, don't worry. This guy's an offensive genius. Okay, well, can that start? At what point do we get to see the genius that runs through the brain of one Adam Gase? Because I've heard about it, but I'd like to see it in action. And unfortunately, I haven't seen it in action. But there's so many things against the Giants. And I mean, what a drive, and then what an end to that drive, huh? 18 plays, up and down the field. You start from your own 5. You get to the opposition 4. You know what frustrated me about that drive? You probably had your best run of the game on first down of that series. You're first and I guess you're first and 10 at the 11. You give it to Barkley, goes right up the middle, gets inside the 5. So now you're second and 3 to pick up a first and goal at the 1. And you roll out to the left, which again is not awful, but you're Daniel Jones. You have to do the smart thing. And I'm thinking and I'm expecting that comes in time, because it has to. Because if it doesn't, then he's not just not going to be the guy. And this is what we do now. Our second segment, we bring in really the face, the voice of the show, the Ty D. Butler. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Well, listen, as you go through the progression of your Open, it's all joy because you recap the Lakers, you know how they're...
I think I did very well, by the way. Like, I hit on many, numerous different topics.
They're now 3 wins away from the NBA Finals, 5 straight wins.
I have never, Ty, and you're a Lakers fan, so I have never seen, I can't say never, I'd have to go back and really think about it, but remembering a team in a conference finals in either the NHL or the NBA and thinking to myself, there's not even a lot of question who's going to win here. Like, to me, it would be an utter shock if the Lakers did not.
Yeah, the Nuggets, that's a cute story coming back from 3-1 twice. But I still don't think they're better than the Clippers. I just think the Clippers didn't play well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't think that they're better, but the Clippers were horrendous down the stretch. I mean, you have a 3-1 series lead, finish the series, and for your star players to give you that in Game 7 was nothing short of an embarrassment. But we don't need to get off on a
tangent.
I was just saying good morning to you.
Yeah, but I was going. So what I was going to say was, you talk about the Lakers. I'm excited about that. Yankees 9 straight wins. Feel great about that.
As you
but
should.
Then you talk about the Jets, and there's nothing to be optimistic about.
Nothing.
They play the Niners tomorrow.
Nothing.
Yeah, and the Niners coming off a loss.
There's nothing. I mean, honestly, you're a Jets fan. You love this team. You work the broadcast.
Yes.
I said to you, all right, what's the one thing you're most excited to see from the Jets tomorrow? What is it? No, I'm being serious. Like, what excites you when you turn on the game, other than sheer loyalty? What are you actually looking forward to in the game tomorrow?
To see the game clock hit 0-0.
Yeah,
that's
pathetic.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I mean, we're week 2 of a season that everyone says is so important, and you have nothing to be excited about with this organization.
And you just mentioned, when the owner comes out and has to give a quote-unquote vote of confidence to the head coach following week one, not exactly boding well for the organization.
Oh, it's awful. And to come out and say, you guys just don't see it. He's an offensive genius. I don't see it because I don't think it's true.
He's never been that, Dave. Like, this idea that he's some wizard offensively, it's belied by the facts. I looked this stat up yesterday.
Of course, it's Peyton Manning, and anybody could have had success with Peyton Manning. It's the fact of, I mean, if you're an offensive wizard, be an offensive wizard. Go show us how good you are. Tomorrow, come out against a really good defense and go for 375 total yards. Put up 24 points. Like, okay, be an offensive wizard. Because I have not seen it, Ty.
I looked this up yesterday. In his 5 years as a head coach, his offenses averaging 19 points per game. This idea that he's an offensive guru is belied by the facts.
You almost can't roll out of bed in the NFL today and not put up 19 points a game. Like, you almost can't do that. The game is constructed so that the offense scores points. So you go up and down the field. Like, you look at these teams. They score almost at will. and I've said this, and I stand by this, the Jets' skill position, and I don't even think we should call it skill positions anymore with this team.
Yeah, no.
It's the worst in football. Like people say, well, the Jaguars is better. The Jaguars is better. I mean, you can't find a group of skill position players worse than what the Jets trot out there. Not to mention now, it's all banged up. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you go around the NFL, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos. I mean, the Chiefs is laughable. The Lions, you can't. The Jaguars, that you can't find.
And you,
the Bengals.
Dave.
The Bengals stink and may win two or three games on the season. But you know what? And I mean this sincerely. I watched the Bengals on Thursday night, Ty. I think there's a lot more. I mean, not even close. A lot more reason to be optimistic with the Bengals than there is the Jets right now.
Oh, not even a question.
Not even close.
So you just said that the Jets might have the worst offensive group in all of football.
They might.
It sounds like you're doing the same show that you did last year. And somehow they got worse. Losing Robbie Anderson, I understand you didn't want to give him that contract. But we have the same conversation about the Jets group every single year, and it's not getting better, especially when you're trying to tap into the potential of a quarterback you drafted number 3 overall, and we haven't really seen much from as far as, you know, us being confident that he's the guy going forward. So,
do you have more confidence that Joe Burrow will be a big-time quarterback or Sam Darnold?
Now, it sounds prisoner of the moment. But I got to tell you, man, watching that game Thursday night, I actually texted one of my coworkers. I said, I wished Sam Darnold looked like Joe Burrow looks tonight.
Yeah, you did, because Burrow looked terrific.
Oh, he was amazing.
And his offensive line is worse than your offensive line. But like, he was under siege all night long.
Yes.
He looked considerably better. He might have looked better in that game. I want to be careful saying this because I don't want to be, as you said, prisoner of the moment. But he might have looked better in that game than I've seen Sam Darnold look in any game that he's played for the Jets.
Well, Darnold was great against the Cowboys.
He was.
But yes, few and far between. And Joe Burrow, like, this might sound weird, but he looked comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, it didn't look like the pass rush got into, you know, got
and
into his head.
Tell what kind of an athlete he is.
Yes, like, he was great. Man.
So before we get to the calls, and you're all right, everything good?
I'm doing as well as I can be.
Yeah, well, this 2020 is not a great year.
Yeah, RIP to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, man. That's a rough one.
Sad. Very rough. Do you want me to make matters even more? I don't mean to upset you on a Saturday, but you want me to make matters worse for you?
You don't tell me some news just came out.
No. Something that happened earlier in the week.
What is it?
I was stung by a bee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I was at the batting cage with Ben, and I was sitting there watching, and all of a sudden I felt this sharp. I saw a bee flying around, and then I lost sight of him. And then I felt a very sharp pain in between my middle finger and index finger, pointer finger as it would be, on my right hand if you're keeping score at home. And I yelled in pain. I yelled a curse word, which I won't repeat on the air.
No, just repeat it.
I won't repeat that on the air. Otherwise, this will be the Ty D. Butler show next Saturday night.
Oh, I mean.
And it hurt. Like, I don't think I've been stung by a bee in, I mean, probably like 35 years. It hurts.
Yeah, man, that's a rough one.
And then because I went into a state of panic and thought, is my tongue swelling? am I going to pass out?
Oh, no.
Am I getting dizzy? I had like an hour of, oh, God, I think this could be it. I might have to go to the hospital, and that passed, and I'm back to.
But you're feeling better today.
It's still a little sensitive to the touch, but I'm feeling much better today.
I want to see how it looks. Can you send me a picture during the break?
It looks fine. It did swell up on Thursday, though. It happened on Thursday.
Okay. But listen.
My hand swelled up a little bit. You would have been very upset.
If there is anyone who can overcome this tremendous amount of adversity,
like
it's you.
I figured you would feel like it. But I got to be honest, and I'm sure they're listening, I don't feel like my family took it as seriously as they probably should have.
Well, I mean, how dare them? That's just not being family oriented.
I feel like they were somewhat laughing and you know, enjoying my discomfort more than should have been.
But
I know you wouldn't do
that.
I know the listening audience would not do that. They would take, you know, very seriously.
Because we appreciate you. So I appreciate the fact that you're playing hurt today, man. Because you could have called out. You could have told Ryan and John and Tim, can't go on the air today.
I could have sent the text and said, listen, stung by a bee. I mean, I didn't see it happen. Could have been a wasp, maybe a hornet. I'm not sure. But I could have sent that text of, you know, bad injury, stung by an insect, can't make it. People have called out for worse, but I don't do that.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
You're a professional, man.
I'm a professional.
10:30 is going to be fun now because you're playing hurt. So this is your iteration of the flu game.
Yes. This would be this, like Michael eats the pizza. You know, I don't know if it's the pizza, food poisoning, the flu, you know, sweating profusely, high fever, dehydration. Yeah, that's a cute story. And this probably, I think in the pantheon of history, when you look back 15, 20 years from now, you'll look back at the flu game. Mm-hmm. You'll look back at the Willis Reed game, yep. And you'll probably look back at today's Stump Rothenberg with the bee sting. I would think.
I think so as well.
Right. I can't ultimately be the judge of history, but that would be my guess.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Continue with the locals, the Jets and the Giants, who both have. I mean, listen, I think that most people, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, most people look at the Jets as a like already a lost season, I think. And that most look at the Giants as they're not going to the playoffs, but there's a chance they could surprise you a couple times this year and win, I don't know, 6-7 games possibly. That's my early take on where we are with New York football after 1 week. You know, and again, all you want from the Jets, just go out and compete tomorrow. Like, you can't go out and be down 21-0 and have the second half be the laughing stock. Just compete. Just be down 17-13, 5 minutes to go, third quarter. Is that asking for that much? Just do what the Giants did, at least on Monday night. Right? Like at least give yourself a chance. At least have the fan base on the edge of their seat into the second half of the game. The Jets were, really, I mean, the only word I can think to use, they were non-competitive last Sunday. Let's go to Marvin in the Bronx. Lead us off, Marv. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Marvin?
Happy New Year.
What's going on? How are you? Thank you so much, Marvin. As always, I appreciate it.
And look, I'm pounding my chest because my notorious Mets fan, my wife, was giving it to me 2 weeks ago. But I've been a Yankee fan since 1964. I don't sweat the little bumps in the road because I knew this thing was going to turn around.
Marv, do you know I saw this earlier, I think today or last night. This is the Yankees' 28th consecutive winning season.
Hey, that's what – look, I was fortunate to be – my mother made me a Yankee fan. I was born and raised in Queens.
Yeah, so, my dad did me a tremendous disservice because he was a New York Giants baseball fan, so he detested the Yankees. And when I was a little boy – I was like trying to pick a team, and he's like, "Well, you can choose whoever you want, but you're not allowed to pick the Yankees." I was like, "Okay," and I chose the Mets, and then that was good for a while, and now it is what it is.
This is sweet music to me because I bet Chris Carlin, he was talking junk about the Yankees. I said, "If the Yankees don't win the World Series, I'll buy you a steak dinner at Ruth Chris Steakhouse."
You better be careful because a steak dinner for Carlin could mean you might have to take out a loan.
Hey, he can't out-eat me. I'm telling you right now.
Wow. I would put my money on Carlin.
Hey, you better put your money on me. My man, I can eat. And I didn't get this size missing meals. But I would tell you, I'm feeling good. I can tell my wife to be shh. And to all those haters out there, hey, I'm smiling today. And I'm
I will
feeling
say
good.
This, though, Marv. I will say this. Go win the World Series. I mean, the Yankees, I mean, like, I don't want to hear about, well, but we were, go win the World Series. Like, shut up and go win the World Series. I don't want to hear about, well, we made the ALCS after we had fallen apart during the, I don't want to hear, well, we made it to the World Series and lost to the Dodgers. Go win the World Series. Do you agree with that, right?
Dave, I'll put it on the table. If they don't win a World Series, I'll treat you to a steak dinner.
I don't want to get involved in your bizarre steak dinner conversation with Carlin. All I'm saying, and thanks to the call, Marv, you know I love you. All I'm saying is this. Talk is cheap. You're probably the best team in the American League. Maybe the best team in baseball right now. The expectations were, at the start of the season, you're right up there with the Dodgers. Well, go win the World Series. That's it. I don't want any conversation, well, the Twins, best of three, that could... No. Go win the World Series. And for anybody's wife or significant other or friend or sibling or anything, as a Mets fan, to be talking down to a Yankees fan... is embarrassing, is what it is. And you should know better. And for all you Yankees fans that panic about how this is awful and that could happen and you're worried about, I just told you, You've had a winning record for 28 consecutive seasons. Odds are distinctly in your advantage that it's going to be fine. So when you're 9-9 and you're breaking glass, don't break the glass. When you can't score a run and you're losing to Baltimore 3 out of 4 two weekends ago, calm yourself down. This team is just too talented. They've now hit more home runs in a series than any team in the history of baseball. They've outscored the opposition by, what, 52 or 53 runs over this 9-game winning streak? They're probably not that, and they're probably not what you saw 2 weeks ago. They're probably somewhere in the middle. But go win it. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't. This is a team that's built to win now. I don't want to hear, well, Paxton this or that. You know what? Everyone has it. Everyone has it. Look around. Look around your division. Look around baseball. The Mets have it. The Red Sox have it. The Dodgers have it. Everybody has it. Pitchers that aren't pitching. Guys that aren't healthy. Guys that can't play. Tommy John opting out. Everyone has it. I don't want to hear it. Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're next up on 98.7.
Dave, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm all right. I'm sorry about your finger, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very tough and resilient, though, Mike, so I'm going to battle through here today. But yes, I was stung by something, some kind of a bee wasp of nature.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. My freshman year of college, which was over 20 years ago, I got stung in my upper lip.
Ugh.
By a bee once. That
did
was
it swell?
Oh, it was brutal. It was like, it looked horrible, and it didn't tickle either.
No, it hurts. It hurt. I mean, honestly, I haven't been stung in like 30 years, so I didn't really remember. But mm-hmm. It hurt.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It hurt. Oh, yeah. But I'll battle through. I mean, Mike, I mean, I know you can tell from my personality. I'm very tough, so I'll battle my way through it.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. You're an animal.
An animal.
You know, and I'm not worried about Stump Rothenberg either. You know, I'm not worried about it.
All right. I'll take you on my side any day, Mike. Any day. What do you got?
All right. So, I mean, yet again, what you guys have been saying, we only surpassed week one of the NFL season. But watching the Giants game last week, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's just the lack of preparation and playing.
No, I don't think at all it was lack of preparation.
Like, but like Saquon just didn't, like, I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I think it's a combination. I think, honestly, I think the offensive line, you know, the running piece of the offensive line was awful. It was, I mean, he was hitting the backfield over and over and over. And what does frustrate me about Saquon is not every run has to be a home run. And when I say that, Mike, even if you have nothing there and you put your head down and you get nothing, it starts first and 10, it ends second and 10, that's better than starting first and 10 and ending second and 13. And it feels like he's got a lot of Barry Sanders in him with that, where he's looking for the home run. And sometimes the best you can do is just kind of get back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. But I feel like our line hasn't, unfortunately, gotten any better, and I don't think it's gotten worse.
No, I'm not there yet. Like, I think, first of all, thanks for the call. Thanks for the tremendous pride in Stump Rothenberg and me fighting through this vicious bee sting. I got a tweet earlier that said it could be a murder hornet. Now, Ty, if it was a murder hornet, I would be dead by now, or how does that work exactly?
I'm not sure. I don't, because you would think that if it's a murder hornet,
you would think by name alone, murder hornet would be bad for me.
Yes, it has to live up to its name,
right? Unless, otherwise, it's really just a hornet.
Yes, unless you just have some ability that we don't know about,
which is possible.
Yeah,
it's very possible. I mean, you would say that at the station, I am without doubt the most resilient person here, right?
Yes, I mean, yeah. You've been through so much. I mean, despite having a Super Bowl champion. You've got, you know, a hockey goalie. You, by far, the most resilient.
Yes. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but probably you would think toughest as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, murder hornets, which can grow up to 2 inches in length, can kill humans by stinging them multiple times, which means they don't always, they just can.
They have the ability to do that, but yes. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will, in fact, do that.
That is correct.
Well, it's still a little tender to the touch.
Tender to the touch.
Yeah,
I love
tender
it.
To the touch. And there is a little bit of swelling in between my two fingers. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm going to push through, but if I don't, if I did perish, like on Tuesday of this week, mm-hmm. Giants win, I go slowly in the night on Tuesday.
Yes.
Would you push for you to take over the show?
No, I would not push for
Why?
That.
Why?
Well, because that's the type of thing that needs to happen organically.
Could I will it to you?
What do you mean? If can you will it to me?
Could I like if I was like if they said you know like I took
like
a
in
turn.
Your will like if
no,
you
no,
had
if
a
I took, if I took a turn
okay
and I wound up being rushed to the hospital and they said listen it's the venom is it's gotten very bad and they said you probably have 12 to 24 hours to live. Could I make some kind of a statement where I would say I want like and obviously it would be you know a weakened statement like I want the show to go to Ty.
In your dying will, essentially.
Yeah. Yes. Really. Like my last words.
So it's I'm gonna leave this to Ben, this to Alex, this
yeah.
to Sherry.
And they're gonna get all my you know, my life insurance and, mm-hmm. and all my possessions. But the show, I don't think they're ready for that yet. So could I say like I want it I want it to go to Ty, the show. Could I do that?
Yeah, you can do that.
Would you want the show?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how effective that is. We have to like what is your value at the station?
I think it's high, especially if it's my death wish.
Yes.
Right? If I'm on death's door and that's my last request, how could they not?
Let's do it.
Let's
do it.
Now, do you think you would do a tremendous service to the show?
Oh,
or you
of
think
course. Now, I don't want this to be confused with me wishing death upon you.
But if that were a byproduct of the perishing, yes. I don't think you'd be horrified.
I would not. I'd be horrified, but I'm not totally out on it. Right? Like if I found out, you know, Dave's not going to make it, I immediately I'm saddened, but the other part of me is like, here's an opportunity.
Right. And I would imagine that if they were like, listen, we got to go to the funeral. Like, I have the show to prep for. Like, I'd love to be there for Dave in his moment of need, but I do have a show to carry on.
Yes. Wednesday morning.
You're really a good friend. You know what? I've seen
I'm
that
tremendous, here. Man.
All right. We're doing a frenzy here. Is that what we're doing?
We are. We are indeed.
All right. Let's go, people. 800-919-3776. Line them up. I'm still here. I don't want to say this, but I guess this could be the last frenzy we do.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, let's get to it. Saturday morning frenzy. You know how it works. Quick question, move on. I answer it. It's done. No, hey, how are you? How's the finger? I heard you suffered a traumatic injury with the bee sting this week. None of that. Maybe the hornet sting, whatever the case may be. None of that. Right to it. Ty, what happens if they ramble and they just start asking me how I'm doing? Yes. Let's go. Greg Piscataway, you're on the frenzy, Greg.
Hey, who do I take my shorts out for? I got knocked off last week with the Eagles. Who do I go with this week, Dave?
I would say and there's a bunch of teams you can take this week. I like Tennessee and I like Tampa, followed by San Francisco. Although I would avoid the Niners because they're probably going to be a better spot to use them. I would say either Tampa or Tennessee. Bobby Rockaway, you're on the frenzy, Bob.
Do you think Darius Slayton has the skill set to be a number one receiver?
You know, I'd say no, but his numbers and production would say otherwise. I mean, if you look at what he's done over the last, you know, half a season plus, he's been a star. And, you know, you keep thinking, well, he's not great. And then every time he's out there, Jones loves him and he produces. So I'd say no, but I don't know that I'm right with that. And if not a one, a legitimate two. Like, if not a 1A, maybe a 1B. Jeff in Howard Beach. Jeff, you're on the frenzy.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick lays another egg tomorrow against the Bills, is next Thursday Tua time?
I don't think so. No, I don't think yet. You know what? There's no reason to do that yet. And thanks for the call. There's just no reason to do that yet. You don't need to watch Tua for 14 games. You'll get plenty of time to see him. Because if the season spirals for Miami, and I didn't think Fitzpatrick was terrible this past week, and that was a 3-point game well into the fourth quarter. They had first and goal to try to cut it to a 3-point game again. So, no, I'm not there yet. Like, you don't need to see 14 games of Tua. You'd be happy seeing 8 games and thinking that he has a legitimate future in the NFL. Kareem in Somerset. Kareem, you're on the frenzy.
Will the 49ers make the playoffs?
Yes. First of all, they're a very good football team. Second of all, you have 7 teams from each conference that go now. So, absolutely. Anthony Garo wants to know. If the Cowboys lose this weekend on a scale from 1 to 10, how much trouble are they in? Now, assuming 10 is the most trouble, I still don't think they're in huge trouble. I mean, I'd be upset if I was a Cowboys fan and my team started out 0-2, but the division's not great. I mean, Washington doesn't scare you. The Giants don't scare you. And the Eagles could also be sitting here at 0-2. So I wouldn't be pleased. I'd be annoyed. The fact that you're 0-2 would frustrate me, but I still think that the Cowboys would have a real chance to go to the postseason, even if they lose this game. Chris, on the Van Wyck. Chris, you're on the Frenzy.
When the Jets go 1-15 and get Trevor Lawrence, what's the best fit for Darnold next team? Lions, Colts? Because it's going to happen.
Colts. Colts, right? I mean, they don't have a quarterback right now. Could you imagine? How angry would you be if you're a fan of the Jets? And he stinks it up here, and this continues for another year. They draft Lawrence. You trade him for a fourth-round pick, third-round pick, and he goes somewhere, and he's good. Oh, that would just be brutal. Austin Akpala, and this is out. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is an embarrassing question. I'll read it because I'm annoyed by it, but it's an embarrassing question. Will Barkley rush for 700 or more yards this year? Yes. Saquon had a bad year last year, was hurt last year, and rushed for 1,000 yards. Saquon Barkley will rush for over 700 yards. I know what you're doing. You're trying to get a dig. Look, he's not the same running back. He's not that great. You could say what you want about him. I still think he's an elite running back. And all of a sudden, this we'll get into it in the 10 o'clock hour. DJ Chef wants to know, is Sam the guy or not? I don't know. I always said so. I still think he's going to wind up being a good quarterback in this league. I don't know if he's going to be the quarterback for this team. Because if he gives you a horrendous season and the Jets go 3-13, do you roll it back again? I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Let's go to Nick in Jersey. Nick, you're on the Frenzy.
Do you think Gase finishes out the year as coach of the Jets?
I do. Listen, the owner just came out and told you that he's in love with him. Dan Graziano joined our show on Wednesday of this week and said Douglas and the coach and Gase are tied at the hip. I don't see any way you get rid of him right now. I think if you do, it's not going to be during the season. Dan in Brooklyn. Dan, you're on the Frenzy.
With Aaron Rodgers' week one performance, are the Packers the front runners to win the NFC?
I'm not there yet. I still think the Niners are very good. I still think the Saints are right up there, and I think the Seahawks are as well. So they're good. They'll be good. He wowed you what he did on Sunday last week, but I'm not there yet. Alvin and Elizabeth. Alvin, you're on the Frenzy.
Did you see the bee die after it stung you?
I didn't. I never saw the bee. I did not see death upon this bee. No, I did not. I don't know. I don't know what it means, whether I saw the bee die or not. I didn't see the actual stinging take place. Ty, do you in fact have a question you want to ask here on the Frenzy?
Well, it piggybacks off of Nick in Jersey, where he said, is Gase going to last the entire season? So my question to you is, once he does get fired, who should come in and coach this Jets team?
Oh, I mean, how about, I have the dream scenario for you. Ready?
I'm ready. I'm all ears.
And you can say, boy, Rothenberg had it first. Trevor Lawrence is your quarterback. Dabo is your head coach.
Wow.
How good would that be?
It's not great that you're giving up on Darnold, who you've invested so much in, but...
No, but I mean, aren't you... And you can blow the Frenzy dead, by the way. Aren't you... Well done, by the way. Aren't you at the point where, at a minimum, Ty, you're a Jets fan, you're very concerned?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Panic button on 8 right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, they've done him no... Well, let's take a break and get into the Jets, and then they have done him no favors right now. None. 800-919-3776. Let's turn our attention to the locals, the Jets and the Giants, and we'll get to your calls, 800-919-3776. Oh, that was a wonderful addition of the Football Frenzy. If, in fact, that was the last one, Ty, we went out on a tremendously, tremendously high note.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. I don't know if you'll have any modicum of success. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. Ty, are you ready for another edition of Stump Rothenberg?
I'm not going to lie to you, Dave. I'm a little nervous because you're battling a significant injury.
Now, even if that is in fact true, if I rise to the occasion and give another stellar performance, wouldn't that make this performance even that much more impressive?
It would. But I'm concerned because you're compromised physically, yeah. So you might be battling some brain power issues. And I don't want anyone to, you know, to just figure that you're just not good anymore.
So if we go 3-8, would you blame it on the vicious sting? Or would you say, you know what, you just weren't yourself?
It's a disaster, and it's not about what my perspective is. People listening to the show for the first time, you know, they've raved about
you. Like Joe DiMaggio said, they said, why do you always try so hard? He said, because someone's watching me for the first
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
And it's a great point. And let's go. 800-919-3776. Dennis in Jersey, lead us off. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Dennis.
Dave, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Dennis. I'm glad you made the call.
Absolutely. All right, so everyone knows that Lou Gehrig's streak began when Wally Pipp decided to take a day off for a headache. Who stepped in for Lou Gehrig when he finally had to take a seat in 1939?
It's a good question, obviously, when he got sick. So, I don't know if it's... It might be Babe Dahlgren, but I don't remember if that's this answer. It was in May of 39 that he didn't play. And I think it was Babe Dahlgren who replaced him. I think. Am I right? I don't have anything else. I'm going to say Babe Dahlgren.
You're correct, Dave.
Yeah. That's 1-0. All right, it's a good start. 800-919-3776, but our expectations are high, so we're not going to celebrate and rest on our laurels for that one answer. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Steve.
You've been on quite a run against me, so I got to step it up a little bit here.
Now you have me nervous, because now you're stepping your game up, and you're probably gonna get me here.
Well, I'm going to go right in football Dave's wheelhouse with some football here.
All right.
The 1999 Colts are one of two teams in NFL history to have a 4,000-yard passer, 1,500-yard rusher, and a 1,500-yard receiver in the same season. Which is the other team?
Give me the numbers again. 4,000-yard passer, 1,500-yard rusher.
And 1,500-yard receiver. Only two teams, and one is the 99 Colts.
I mean, my first thought would be the Lions of 95. But now I'm thinking maybe it's the Rams. Is it the Lions? Because I think, well, obviously Barry Sanders. I think it's the Lions, but now I'm uncertain because now I'm thinking Rams. I feel confident it's one of those teams. And now the internal struggle of which one is it. Oh, goodness. I mean, the greatest show on turf, but I don't know that they had a 1,500-yard receiver. And I know that the Lions had a 1,500-yard rusher. And I know that the Lions had a 4,000-yard quarterback in Scott Mitchell. Question is, did they have a 1,500-yard receiver? I think they did. I'm going to
I think Herman Moore had I'm gonna say the Lions of 95.
It's the 1995 Detroit Lions. Can't get nothing.
Yes. Do you see what I mean, Ty? You got such insight into the way my brain works. Do you see what I just did?
No.
That was sensational.
It was fine.
No, it was fine. No, it was brilliant. And until you're willing to give me the credit I deserve. Dion in the car. Dion, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave. New York Yankees fan food.
New York Yankees what?
Fan food at the Yankee Stadium.
Oh, Ty, all right. I'm going to question this already, but go ahead.
What year did the delicious Reggie Bar make its debut at Yankee Stadium?
I guess 76?
1978.
I mean, Ty, really? That's... Ty, we're gonna. Should we step aside, put my arm around you, really?
I think that's a fair question.
What year did the Reggie Bar debut at Yankee Stadium?
I think it is a fair question.
Really?
It was a big deal.
I mean, really?
I was actually at that game.
Really? You were not at that game.
I was.
You were not.
I was at the game.
That, I think you're better than that.
Okay.
That's Kyrie screening, not Kyrie screening. You're better than that. Let's go to Fran in Massapequa. Fran always gives good questions. Good morning, Fran.
Dave, what's up? You're right about that one. That was I don't know about that.
It was embarrassing, right?
Yes. Two things. One, yes, absolutely. I would say 95% of the fans play along and try to get it. I was going to say 49 instead of question that you got right when you said the Lions. And if I had one call, if I was limited to one call a week, there's no doubt about it, it would be to this show.
Fran, you're very good for the ego. Where are you going here? What's your question today?
All right, I'm trying. You ready? Here we go.
Go ahead.
Who purchased the ball, the ground ball, that rolled through Bill Buckner's legs in the World Series, you know, against the Mets?
Charlie Sheen, I think, bought the ball. Hello?
Is that your final answer?
Oh, God. Now I don't know. I thought it was Charlie Sheen, so I'll say yes.
Come on. Where am I going to get questions from? There's nothing that you get wrong. It's absolutely unbelievable. Ty better step up to the plate and start giving you the proper props, because you are an absolute... You're a genius when it comes to trivia. I don't care what anybody says. You're just unbelievable. Your record has got to be tons of questions over 500.
Yes, I am the offensive genius that Christopher Johnson says Adam Gase infected.
You're a mountain of knowledge. Fran missed that part. Mountain of knowledge.
And I got to be honest, I'm so disappointed in you right now.
You can be. It's fine.
What year did the Reggie Bar debut at Yankee Stadium?
Jesus Christ. I mean, you got the question wrong, so now you're a little hurt about it.
I should have said I'm not answering the playing that game to begin with. It was silliness what it was. What are we, 3-1, but should be 3-0?
No, you're 3-1. Stop being a baby.
Let's go. You're the baby. Let's go to Sal and Dutchess. Sal, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, fellas. You have to help me, Dave. I have a hard time pronouncing names. The guy who won the MVP this year for the NBA.
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, 4-1. There we go. Good job. Give me the ding.
Not yet. And he also won. And he also won the Defensive Player of the Year. What other two players in the NBA have done that? Only two players have done that before him. Who are they?
LeBron? Really?
You want me to give you the answer? Are you done?
No. I thought it was LeBron. Akeem Olajuwon?
You have to name two.
All right. I thought it was LeBron, but I'll say Olajuwon and Jordan then.
You got it.
All right, so I got it then, Ty.
Except you don't got it. No,
you said
LeBron. LeBron's never won.
No, I was spitballing. It wasn't a final answer.
LeBron's never... You got an answer from the caller.
I was spitballing. No, it was early on thought process.
You said,
you're out to get
me. And then you followed it up. You followed it up by saying, I thought LeBron
did that. I did think LeBron, but it wasn't. It's not like I said, my final answer is these two guys.
If the question is, who has won these awards in the same season? And you say, I think LeBron's done it.
I think LeBron. If I would have given a final answer, I would have said LeBron. That's correct. You know what? You're out to get me.
You're 3-2.
I see what it is with you. You're a Jets fan.
You're
a Jets fan.
And
you obviously have so little going on right now that your goal is to take it out on me.
You're a
bad
Giants
guy.
Fan, and
I'm not going to let that happen.
The segment away just like your quarterback does on
Chris
Monday night.
Chris in Bethpage. Chris, let's see if you're gonna play the game properly. You're gonna play the ties nonsense. Go ahead.
Dave, I always come to play properly. And by the way, I gave you a shout out at the Michael Kay show on Monday. He was talking
terrific.
About how brilliant. He was talking about how brilliant you are. He happened to listen to you on Saturday, so I called up. I said the guy's amazing. I've been calling him for 3 years. And then they even said, does he Google it? You know, I go, no way. I go, there's times I've asked him questions, he gets it right away. He's unbelievable.
He's a genius is what he is.
I did say that. I really did.
Right. Thank you, Chris. Go ahead now.
Anyhow, okay, let's keep in topic here with Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away.
Okay.
Dave, who's the longest serving justice ever? 36 years this person served.
William Douglas.
Look at you. William O. Douglas is correct. 36 years.
All right. So was that Googled? That happened in nanoseconds. I believe from 30, late 30s to mid-70s, I believe.
4-2.
You know what? It's Fugazi 4-2.
Someone just tweeted at me, @blue_bluejeans, that Reggie Bar was a fair question. It was a big deal.
The Reggie Bar was a terrible question.
It was a good question.
And I'll tell you what the terrible piece of it was. Not what year did the Reggie Bar debut. What year did it debut at Yankee Stadium? Like there should be a different... I mean, stop it.
It was a big deal.
No. No.
4-2, my friend.
No. We're saying 4-2, but I'm getting texts from people, high-ranking people, very important people in the broadcasting world who said that the Reggie question was just a terrible question. Terrible.
Oh, man.
Question. We also, Ty, just to confirm, high-ranking people in the broadcasting world last week were texting us saying how much they're enjoying the segment.
Yes.
Right?
It's a hit.
It's a huge, huge hit. 800-919-3776. Zeke in Jersey is on Stump Rothenberg. Good morning, Zeke.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. So, yeah, I heard the shout-out on the Michael Kay show, so I had to give this a test.
All right.
So there are five Major League Baseball players in all of baseball history that have hit 500 home runs or more playing for only one team in their entire career. Can you give me one? And if you can give me one, if you want to give me more, you could try. But can you give me one of those five players?
All right. 500 home runs for one team. This is a good question. Well, Bonds did it, but it's not him. Aaron did it. Well, Hank Aaron. Are we including the Milwaukee? Because it was Milwaukee-Atlanta. So are we including that or no?
Well, yeah. If it was a team, then it was a team, yes.
So then that would be one.
No. I meant to say, if it's two teams, then...
Okay, so the Milwaukee... Okay, so it's not that. All right, so it's obviously not Babe Ruth. It's not Alex. It's not Pujols. We know it's not.
They're not. They're in the era of, like, I would say Hank Aaron and stuff, but definitely not recent.
That's okay. You don't need to give me a hint. I'm just running down the list of. It's not Willie Mays. It's not Griffey, obviously. Who else? It's Sosa. It's not Sammy Sosa. No, so it's not Frank Robinson because he played with a million different teams. It's not Mark McGwire. Into the 570s, right? Carmen Killebrew, no. Reggie Jackson, no. This could take me a moment to run through all the 500 home run guys. Manny Ramirez, obviously not. Oh, Mike Schmidt is one.
He is one, yeah.
Michael Jack Schmidt is one. It's not David Ortiz because he came up with the Twins, and for some godforsaken reason, they moved on for him. Do you want me to keep going, or are we calling it here?
We could call it there. I could give you the four others.
Mickey Mantle's got to be one.
Mickey Mantle is one. That's
yeah.
two.
So do you need more? Do you are we sufficed, or what do you?
Ted Williams, Mel Ott, and Ernie Banks.
There you go. All right, so that's 5-2. So you gave it a test for yourself, and you saw how exactly it works. Ty, how was that? I did well?
Yeah, I was very impressed with that showing.
Okay, thank you. We'll continue along. Let's go to 800-919-3776. Let's go to Raymond in Brooklyn. Raymond, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Ray.
I know you like your Mets trivia, and you're pretty good with them, so let's see if I can stump you on this one.
All right.
Which pitcher set the Mets franchise record with the longest scoreless inning streak to start their career with 18 2/3?
I don't know that I'll know this.
He was a...
Go ahead. You want to give me a hint? You don't need to. I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to know this. It's not DeGrom, obviously. To start his career, right? So not when he came to the Mets. It's when he started as a Met?
He started as a Met.
Yeah, I don't think I know it. I will say Ron Darling.
Wrong. Pedro Beato.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, there you go. That's 5-3. Well, that got me. I would never have gotten Pedro Beato. Ty, you want to continue along?
Let's continue. We got time for, let's say, one more question.
Eric in Stamford. Eric, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning. So,
what's up, Eric?
I got the last National League Triple Crown winner.
All right. So... Miguel Cabrera? Hang on a second. The last National League Triple Crown winner. Well, he did it on the Tigers. Was it... God, does it go all the way back to Ducky Medwick? Ted Williams did it, obviously, in the American League. I think Frank Robinson did it in the American League. And Carl Yastrzemski did it in the American League. Rogers Hornsby, but I think Medwick did it after that. I think it's Ducky Medwick. I'm going to say... Final answer.
Is Joe Medwick.
Yes. Yes. 37, correct? I believe. All right.
6-3. Not bad.
Not bad?
Not bad.
That's what we call in the biz sensational, especially with your less than stellar questions that you allowed to slip in there.
Well, you for just...
And the one that I might have gotten right, but when I was spitballing, you gave me the buzzer. So, you know what? 6-3, I'll take it. It's good.
It's fine.
It's good. Should have been better. Good
Should
enough.
Have been better. I had a phenomenal gem for you. I guess I'll just save it.
Why
for
Why don't you save it for later?
I'll save
Why
it
don't you ask
week.
It to me and RJ during the 11 o'clock hour?
No,
I'm serious.
What are we doing here?
That's what we're doing.
Getting
you
bumped
can ask
to the
it
minor
to RJ
league?
And
no.
I during. Listen, I, enough of
no,
this.
No,
enough.
I'm appalled. And
enough.
I'm disgusted
enough. Enough. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
A lot of games that we still have to get into. Let's slowly
you
make
know,
our
Dave,
way through.
You know, Dave, I have a complaint. I have a complaint.
Here we go.
I don't want to compare you to people. You know how when you have a girlfriend and then you have your exes. But I'm just looking on Twitter, and you might have heard of this guy, Colin Cowherd.
He's very familiar, yes.
He tweets out and it says, "Oh, Saturday podcast, RJ in Vegas, red hot in week one." I mean, it's like he's got like 2 million Twitter followers,
right,
and he's just giving me love, and you just struggle to say anything nice.
I think that's unfair. I think this is going in a very unlikely
It's just
direction.
Weird how, like, you're the least...
Are you? Is that what you need? You need to have your ego stroked, or I'm like, oh, RJ Bell's joining me? You know what? When I get a moment, I will send a very nice tweet that says you're joining the show, and that you gave us a winning pick last week, and how good you...
Yes.
I will give you huge pats on the back, okay?
Deal.
Okay.
I'm happy.
What do I get in return for this?
How's my mic sound? I got a new mic today.
It sounds delightful.
It does?
It sounds terrific.
It's actually the same mic Howard Stern uses house.
By the way, does anyone drop names more than
I don't know Howard Stern. I would love to know Howard Stern. I'm saying he has a mic, and it's the same one I have.
Okay.
You think me and Howard are hanging out? You think me and Stern's hanging out?
No, I don't think he'd want anybody.
See, then all right,
so here's
I'm not
what we're
dropping
doing.
Names then.
Here's what we're doing. All right.
Jeez.
The goal to have you on the show is to run through the football games. And
let's do, you know what we can do?
Friends.
Why don't you stop talking, and let's start with the rundown. Let me be expansive. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Can I just control the game for you, or do
pick,
you just want
pick
to take,
any,
like, should I go?
Any game.
Should I go? Like, if I were to leave, could you carry?
If you left, I would do an imitation of you.
I don't think you could carry the show, though. I think you'd struggle greatly.
You know something? That is something I'm not good at. One, I like to have a conversation. I like to go back and forth. Some people just like to talk. I mean, Dave, no big deal.
That's not you. No. All right, let's go here. Panthers, Buccaneers, Tampa, disappointing week one. They're given 8.5 at home to Carolina, who actually I thought played pretty well in week one. What's your take on this one?
All right, got the receivers banged up. All right, so, you know, two big key receivers, less than 100% for Tampa. But here's my question. Everybody's assuming Tampa's going to bounce back. Everyone's I don't know. It wasn't
that's
me.
That's got to be on your end.
No. I said ISDN. That doesn't make it sound like that.
Okay.
Everybody is assuming that Tampa's going to bounce. Did you see the way I just talked through it like it didn't happen?
Yeah, but you know, because you're a pro.
But you're the one that said, hey, what,
I got distracted.
You're like, hey, what happened?
Yeah, well, because you know what? I bring attention to these things so people know. I want them to see the foibles that live radio does give us.
You want them to see you're human and not perfect.
I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
Do you remember when Bob Dylan played at the Grammys and there was a protester, Soy Bomb was his name, and
yes.
He jumped? Yeah. You go back and watch the actual original tape of that. They got it on YouTube. Dylan goes like 2 minutes playing a guitar solo, not even acknowledging the guys on stage.
All right. Well, let's acknowledge
the game. You would have stopped and like got his autograph. You would have talked to him in the middle of the show.
Of course I would have. What are you doing here, sir? Continue.
That would have been great. But here's the thing. I don't know if Tampa knows how to do this. Now, what is that? It's lose a game, play against a team that you're over a touchdown favorite, and take care of business instead of potentially being lackadaisical. And because of that, and you see that all the time, I think Arizona's in a similar role. They had a nice win. Now they're a big favorite. And it's like everyone thinks they're going to be able to handle it off that big win against the 49ers. I don't think so necessarily. So I don't love Carolina because I think they were hit by COVID. The situation hurts them with a college coach, a college D coordinator, more than any other team. I think a new quarterback. So I don't want Carolina, but I'm not sure Tampa's going to be able to do what people expect. I'm passing.
Okay. So let me ask you this, and we'll continue along with the games with the number as well. But Survivor Week 1, lot of people got eliminated, right? I mean, Jacksonville with the win killed a lot of people. Washington coming out and beating Philadelphia killed a lot of people. If you're still alive, and I know a lot of people still are, what game would you lean towards this week?
Okay, so the old saying is teach a man to fish, he feeds himself for life. Give him a fish sandwich, it's just lunch. Well, we're going to try to teach him to fish. Here's what you do. You take the two or three biggest spreads of the week. Let's say three, okay? Then you say, is this likely one of the best, highest spreads? When I say best, I mean highest, biggest favorites this team's going to be. So I'll give you an example. Last week with Jacksonville, does anyone think the Colts are the best team that Jacksonville is going to play?
No.
So then why take the Colts when you can get Jacksonville as the team you're fading at another point down the road? The goal of Survivor is not to advance. The goal is to win it. So you take the chance to, you know, you might, let's say, only have a 6-point favorite in week one to set yourself up for week seven. And if you lose, well, it doesn't matter if you lose week one or week seven. So I would say be bold and consider what is the most extreme likely, you know, how bad, quite frankly, is the team that you're fading? And how good is the team you're batting? So let's look at the big favorites this week. Bucks against the Panthers. Panthers are about as bad as any team. You know, I don't think they're the worst, but they're probably bottom five right now, right? Broncos are not, so Steelers minus seven. You know the Steelers are going to be laying more against the Bengals, right? Sure. So why use Pittsburgh up? 49ers, Jets, seven. You know they're going to be, they're on the road. There's no way that can be the most they're going to lay. 7.5, Titans, maybe. I would consider that. So to me, Ravens over the Texans, no. You know the Ravens against the Bengals? Forget about it.
I mean, they'll kill them, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Chiefs 8.5. You know it's going to be more. So to me, the two teams to consider here would be, and the team I like is Tampa Bay. It'd be either Tampa Bay or Tennessee. I don't like Tennessee in that game, so I would say I would use Tampa Bay because I don't figure they're going to be laying much more against or at home against the Panthers. I mean, which team is really that much worse than the Panthers?
No, the Panthers are going to be a bad team. But I got to tell you, RJ, and I agree with you, I would take Tampa as well. I like them to just win the game this week. But Carolina did not embarrass themselves in week one.
No doubt. But the thing is, how good a team is relative to expectation is a couple points generally. Like, usually a team isn't considered, it happens occasionally, but entering the year, they're not like the fourth worst team, and then they end up making the playoffs. I know the NFL does have worst to first in divisions from the prior year, but usually those teams are considered, like Denver, though we'll see with Denver, but they didn't have a great year last year. They're supposed to do better this year. You see that all the time. Detroit was a team that they ended up getting just steamed to win the division. So like 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, Detroit was 9-1 to win the NFC North. They closed at 4-1. Now, maybe that's
and they
not...
came out of the gates great last week.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But they should have won that
loss.
Game.
They lost the game twice. They had the game done. They fell apart. They lost it. Then they had another chance, and he drops a touchdown. What a terrible loss.
Never trust a guy that tries to use a pencil on laminated paper. That's just my general rule in life.
I'll make great note of that.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.